Morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, you survived the fourth. How you doing over there?
Well, I did, and I want to thank you for being patient because I've got my phone on Game Changer here.
Yeah, yes, a big
tournament
for your girl down in Denver.
Yes, the Mizuno Maniacs are down at the Colorado Sparkler.
Perfect. Well, it is. I knew people that were gone for baseball, that were gone for softball, even hockey. So yeah, even though it was America's birthday, the sports. Sports travel teams did not,
take it off. They got to watch fireworks in Denver while mom and I were here.
I love it. Well, yeah. Very, very good. Well, I really didn't think it would be truly, and I had to go back and double check on this because it's still on the market. And a little bit of a revisit here, but it really wouldn't be a national celebrity crazy story celebrating America's birthday.
Yeah.
If we didn't have our crazy home be a home that a pilgrim built.
Oh.
Is on the market. It is said to be, I don't really know who fact checked this, but it is said to be the oldest home on the market in the United States.
Wow.
It is in Plimpton, Massachusetts. And that's a real name of a town. I had to double check that as well. I was like,
yeah, it's real. I've heard of it.
I was like, are you saying Plymouth? No, Plimpton.
Plimpton.
This house was built in 1669.
Wow.
It was back when Bryant, a pilgrim, built the house more than 350 years ago. The current homeowners restored it, tried to maintain its colonial roots. It is one of the first timber-framed homes in the United States.
Wow.
It comes on 2 acres, rock-walled, lined property, walls around the property. And it is on the market, though, for $800,000.
It's probably a code enforcement dream.
Yeah.
Har har.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't even know. How do you build a house in 1669? I don't think you have like DeWalt battery pack skill saws.
No, you had like those shows on DIY where the guys used the handmade iron tools.
Yes.
And no power tools. That's how they did it.
Yeah. 3 bedrooms, 2 full baths. 2,500 square feet.
Wow.
The wood frame timber is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I will say is absolutely beautiful. But also, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to throw down $800,000 for this, John.
I would for the historical value.
Okay,
if I had
see?
It.
You're all in on this. Yeah, you like it. Okay, good. Well, that's
that
one of,
actually for a piece of American history, going all the things together in the blender, that's cheap.
Okay, I knew this was America's birthday house of the week for sure. So but very, very cool to see what was possible and to think that, you know, if you go over to Europe and you see old things and you tour, it's very different. But to think that is one of the oldest homes in America, something that was built. I mean, if something here is more than 60 or 70 years old, it's
wow,
rare.
That's antique.
Yeah, and to look at something 350 years ago, anyway.
I mean, Frank Lloyd Wright is brilliant, but he's considered antique.
Yeah, correct. And so you look at that and say that, you know, when you get to the East Coast back there like that, pretty incredible property. Very, very cool to see that on the market. Well, John, we always like to temper that with our local Columbia Basin Tri-Cities real estate statistics. And I tell you what, June, an interesting month for Tri-Cities real estate. Very, very busy. We are back up to 307 sold homes last month in June. And then here's the interesting part. Inventory climbing again. We ended June with right now, so active on the market, 858 active listings, which is the highest amount of inventory that we've seen in Tri-Cities over the last 6 years. a lot of people have said to us, man, there's just nothing to choose from. There's, when I see a house, it's gone the next day, or there's multiple offers. If we get back into this inventory level, it's a chance for buyers to actually have a couple options, see a couple homes on the market. The best deals, yeah, they're still going in multiple offers. So the best properties and the best deals are still very competitive. But option wise, we have in the last 6 years in our, you know, distance, you know, past here, we just haven't had inventory like this. So I think it's a good opportunity for buyers that have been on the sideline to jump in there and take a look at what's happening. Average sold price last month in June climbing, coming in at $460,000. So still a very, very competitive market, great market for sellers if you're looking to cash in on some equity growth. That summer market is for sure here. And that brought down our days on the market. Last month, it was a little bit slower. Days on the market now, 38 days on the market average. So still moving along very, very quickly. Well, John, it is the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, some my neighbors are still popping off.
Some people are still on an extended weekend because I see you out there. And the 4th was on Thursday.
Yeah.
Take one vacation day on Friday. I think there's a lot of four-day weekenders out there. So congrats to you guys. So I thought I would throw in, I always like to this time of the year to go back and look at what I call fireworks in your real estate deal that blew up your deal or made it awfully spicy to try to get through. And when you look at this, the sentiment out there is still owning your own home is often still seen as a key milestone to the American dream. When recent survey by Bankrate about home affordability said the vast majority of Americans, 78%, still consider owning a home to be part of the American dream. But that hasn't been without its challenges, especially with the increased prices, with the higher interest rates. But then you get into a deal and there's more challenges on top of that. So I went back and I looked out over the last 6 months at interesting situations. I'll say interesting, spicy situations that can sometimes make a deal difficult to get through. And so the number one thing we have on the list, and I think people that have been in the real estate industry or have been out there will definitely understand this one. But the number one way to add fireworks to your deal is when you've been working with a client, you've shown them 20 houses, you find the one that they want, and they say, you know what? I want to see it one more time before I make an offer, and I want to bring my overbearing father that used to be in the building industry to see it with me. Guaranteed problems. I will tell you that right now. Now, sometimes I've seen this work out okay, but for the most part, this is going to add some fireworks to the deal. So what happens in this situation is likely that person, that father, is looking and saying, and it can be a mother too as well in this situation. Parents of the buyers come. And, you know, they're protective. It's their child. I understand. I get that. I'm a father as well. So they want to be naturally protective of their child. But sometimes what they don't know is they have no idea what the market is.
Yeah.
And so they don't understand pricing for the current market because they're not in the market.
Yeah.
In fact, many times what I see happen in these situations is I see the kids buying, let's just say we just did the average sales price, $450 to $460. And so even for a starter home, if we go back and look, you'll be in the $350 range. What I find a lot of times about that is the kids are buying at $350, and the parents that are making this judgment live in a $600,000 house.
Yeah.
And so they show up and they, of course, it's not going to be the same, or they're going to have issues with it or not like certain things about it. It changes your perspective. So we have to be careful in that situation.
Yes.
The worst part about doing it that way also, which happens a lot of times, is they only came to give their approval on that last one. They did not see the other 19 homes that we have shown them. And so this house might look bad to them, mm-hmm. but if they want to see the really bad ones, I would have to go back and re-show them the other 19. So they don't really have an indication if it's good or bad. They can only judge upon what they're seeing, because that's an education process yes. with the buyers. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why that's really, really difficult in those situations. And we recently had this happen to us as well. That's how it gets to my number one on my list. In fact, in our particular situation, the dad came the next day after an offer was put in and accepted, an offer that was competitive in multiple offer situation and didn't have an inspection. Mm-hmm. And in this instance, we represented the seller, but we go by the house the next day, and one of the neighbors calls us and says, "Hey, I know you guys just recently went under contract this house, but somebody's got a ladder and they're up running around on the mm-hmm. roof." And you're like,
"We were talking about that.
Who is that? Who is that? What is? There's no way they could have gotten an inspector out there that fast." So you go out there. Sure enough, it's a dad of a buyer. "Oh, I just wanted to check these things out. I think these kids made a huge mistake," and blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, fireworks. Fireworks in your deal, McKay, mm-hmm. Can come in that form so often. So yes. That's a big one on our list. The next one that we've had on our list that has been happening, it happens too much, but it's what I call third-party verifications mm-hmm. of the information a buyer told their lender. So there's a couple different scenarios in this situation, but let me give you a good example. A buyer is renting a house from a family member. They pay $1,200 a month in rent. They're getting a discount. They pay $1,200 a month in rent. And so they put on their loan application, I've paid $1,200 in rent for 2 years. I've got good payment history. And they put that on their loan application. The lender gives them a pre-approval based upon that information. Now they've got an offer accepted. They've got to go back and verify. And they just say, "We need a rental verification." And they send that over to the landlord, and the landlord's like, "Well, yeah, but, you know, Jack and Sally, they're actually my nephew, and they pay $1,200 in rent, but they pay $800 of that in cash, and for the other $400, they do some yard work for me."
Oh, and that changes the financial picture.
And so now they're like, "And I don't really feel comfortable putting on this official sheet of paper that's going to go to a lender. I just don't feel comfortable putting $1,200 on there, so I'm going to just put $800 on there."
Mm.
And that goes to the lender, and the lender's like, "Hey, this doesn't match up. You don't have a payment history now that matches what went in on your application."
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. The other one that we get sometimes is we get a gift letter. Mm. So you can gift a family member funds to put towards a house. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you have to submit basically a statement saying that it was a gift and you gave it with no, you know, recollection of any repayment, and you gave it to your other family member. They give that to the lender, and then the lender has justification for what this large deposit was into your account prior to funding the loan. Because what's the lender worried about? The lender is worried about you having additional debt obligation. Mm-hmm. So if there's a $10,000 deposit in your account, and that's not normal, the lender wants to make sure that that's not a loan, a private mm-hmm. loan that you got from somebody else that you're going to have to repay. So what happens when they send Granny the paperwork saying it was a gift letter, and she's like, "Oh, well, I thought they said they were going to pay me back for this," and that doesn't match up what this letter from the lender says. So third-party verifications of information and understandings of the lender have to match exactly what was on the application and what was told the lender. Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you're considering doing gift funds like that, different lenders have different requirements. I would ask your loan officer exactly what that gift letter needs to look like and say, so that it doesn't jeopardize you getting the loan.
Yes.
So that's a big thing. And then also the other big thing is varying amounts of income. So you might have 2 months of bank statements and 2 months of wages that show a higher amount than your average. Mm-hmm. But when you have to submit, say, a tax return or additional verification, you're going to have to explain, like, maybe you're in a commission income-based business. Maybe you had 2 really good months. And those last 2 months don't match up with your averages that are on your tax returns. Those are some of those third-party verifications. They have to match, folks. Your lender needs to know, or what ends up happening is you can blow up the deal at the last minute. It is a true firework in deals, and it still happens even in today's day and age. So you have to watch out for those type of things in deals. When we come back from the break, I've got 3 more fireworks that we want to keep out of your real estate deals.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about our 4th of July weekend fireworks in your deals that we want to avoid. Before I start on our next 3, let's get a pick 3 out there, because as I was saying, inventory in Tri-Cities creeping up, and so good choices for buyers. And this is a great house. Pick number 1, 6122 Dorchester Court in Pasco. This is a great open layout plan with LVP flooring, large kitchen, has granite counters, stainless steel appliances, corner pantry, large dining area. The primary suite has LVP floors, a walk-in closet, premium ensuite, has dual sinks, jetted tub, and a large walk-in shower. And then out back, built-in fire pit, garden shed with power, separate fenced area with a chicken coop, and space for an extra garden. $535,000, and this is a really, really nice property in Pasco. Pick number 2, this is hard to find. I'm going to give you a river view for $309,000.
Okay.
So this is 2401 West Canal Drive, 2D. Okay. So this is a Palisades condo with that river view. You've got a fireplace in the living area, slider out to a private balcony that overlooks the river. Great galley kitchen with stainless steel appliances, highly upgraded. And then with the Palisades, you have access to the community pool, landscaped grounds, great location for $309,000.
Ooh.
Riverview, pool access, condo, $309,000. Great, great property. And then pick number 3, I'm going to take you out to West Richland, 2503 Rose Street. This is a 1390 square foot classic Rambler 3-bedroom, 2-bath. The kitchen has quartz countertops, top of the line Bosch stainless steel appliances, subway tiled backsplash. Both bathrooms have been upgraded with quartz counters and Moen fixtures. Primary suite has a brand new custom tiled shower, dual sink vanity, and then just a really park-like backyard, covered patio, concrete curved landscaping, garden shed with additional storage, and you're getting this beautiful Rambler. That's coming in at $439,000.
Ooh.
So there's some really, really good inventory out there right now, and I would definitely, if you haven't looked as a buyer in the last 6 months, you qualify. Take a look at rates. Get back in the market. There's good inventory to go look at. We've been talking today about the things as a real estate agent that will sometimes blow up in your face like a firework. And what I've got next on the list is just sometimes those things that you can't predict. And I put down, and I've got some examples. A firework in a deal is weird things that can happen during a home inspection. So let me give you, and first of all, before I go down this path, let me just say, I don't envy the position of home inspectors.
No.
Because they're expected to know everything there is to know about a product that is not a standard product. Mm-hmm. All homes are a little bit different. Even two track homes built with the same plans will likely have some different quirks within them. Yes. But what's a weird thing that can happen during a home inspection that can just blow up the deal? Well, here's a great example. A deep freezer plugged into a garage outlet that is on a GFCI circuit.
Okay.
What can happen is part of a home inspection is the home inspector will trip the outlet to make sure the GFCI is working.
Oh.
99.9% of the time, they will then reset it, and there's no problem. But one of the houses we had a home inspection done on, the guy was a big hunter. That deep freeze was full of meat that he had killed himself during hunting season. The home inspector didn't realize there was a GFCI that got tripped during the inspection, and that outlet went dead during the inspection. The homeowner left for the weekend, was gone. Like the home inspection was like on Friday. He returns on Monday, and all of his work hunting, all of the meat is
rotten,
bad in that deep freezer.
Oh.
Okay. You're a buyer. This was your home inspector that you choose as a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
You get a list of things that you want repaired from the home inspection to present to the seller. Let me ask you, number one, how do you think that seller feels about the home inspector in that scenario?
Probably not very happy for digging up all this mechanical flaws.
Yes, and he also doesn't think he's very competent because he couldn't even reset a GFCI. So the seller is now in a terrible mood. They're almost unwilling to look at anything the buyer says in that situation. They don't trust the inspector. They think that guy was an idiot. And so they surely don't want to give any weight to a report that he generated. When at the end of the day, this, for hundreds and hundreds of inspections, this probably would rarely happen. But this is human error. Something like this is going to happen. It's just for that particular deal, it's a major deal.
Yes.
And it really negatively, adversely affects the negotiations for the buyer through really no fault of their own in that situation. Second thing that I've seen happen, I've seen numerous things when a home inspector breaks something at a home inspection.
Yes.
I mean, it just sets the mood off for sellers. They're there to give a report about the status of the house. Maybe a cabinet door won't open, or for whatever reason, the seller, there were, you know, three screws in a access panel, and the home inspector only gets two of them out and then pulls on the door and then breaks the access panel door. Ooh. You know, I've seen that happen. Or they're checking on a pipe that's leaking a little bit, and they push on it wrong, and then the pipe, you know, breaks the rest of the way. I've seen that. I mean, I've seen so many of these over thousands of inspections. Every now and then something happens, and it enrages sellers most of the time, and then sets up a negative inspection. Now, sometimes too, also, inspectors are wrong about things. Like, for instance, they will call something out and they'll say, "You should double check this. I think it's code." Well, the year that house was built, maybe it wasn't code, or they got an exception for whatever reason. And so anytime something like that is called out and then it's found to not be the issue, it creates a terrible dynamic between buyer and sellers, their agents, and getting through that inspection process is really difficult. So if you want to throw fireworks into a real estate deal, just have the home inspector do something totally crazy, and that will mess it up for sure. So that is a big one that we see happen. The next firework that happens in deals, and this is going to buyers, one of the biggest fireworks that you can add to a deal to burn it up is a buyer that is buying items such as cars, mm-hmm. new furniture, or appliances on credit before closing.
Yes.
So after they've talked to their lender and been pre-approved and gotten a pre-approval, that pre-approval is based upon a snapshot of their financial situation, their payments, their debt-to-income ratios. If you change either debt or income, mm-hmm. you're going to have a potential issue with your lender.
Yes.
The worst feeling in the world for a real estate agent. Well, one of the worst, because there's a couple things that are yeah. bad. But one of the worst feelings in the world for a real estate agent is when you've gone under contract with a buyer, and especially if they're a first-time home buyer, because they just don't know any better. Sometimes it doesn't matter, though. And then you show up for the home inspection 10 days later, and they arrive in a super expensive, fancy new car. You see it coming without the plates.
Yeah.
I've actually completely gone off on buyers, like off the rails in that situation, to where I'm always just like out of my car. And my first question is always like, please tell me that's not your car. And yeah. if they tell me it's their car, my second statement is, please tell me you've talked to your lender about this situation. And if the answer to that question is no, like the deal's probably dead at that point. And people just don't quite understand. So I have a rule that I tell buyers in this situation. And I say, always buy the garage before you buy the car.
Yes.
That you must first buy a garage to put the new car into. Do not go out of order in that situation, because it is, you're under way more scrutiny to get a new house than you are a new car. Trust me, you can always go down and get another car after we've got the mortgage finalized and you're in this house. Mm-hmm. It's probably not a good idea either way, but if you're going to do it and don't want to mess up the house deal, do not add a big car payment to your debt to income ratio. So that's a big one. And sometimes the appliances things get people too, because yeah. they'll be a week from closing and they'll be like, man, I was at checkout and I was buying these three appliances mm-hmm. and the guy said to me, do you want to save 15% on your purchase today because it's such a major purchase? And I was like, absolutely I do, Lance. And so I opened a Home Depot card.
Yeah.
And so what did they do? The day before closing, many times lenders will re-pull credit the day before closing to make sure there's been no new credit inquiries or no new lines, trade lines opened up on your credit report. And when there's a Home Depot card on there, or even an iPhone loan, or anything that has to do with credit, it can cause a delay in closing. And sometimes I've actually seen it ruin a deal before, like over something as dumb as an iPhone loan. So you really have to be cognizant of that. I always say to buyers, please freeze on credit. No inquiries, buy new credit during that process until you're through closing. That is a massive firework to toss into deals. And then kind of along that same lines, the last thing I had today as the big firework that can happen, especially right now in the environment that we're in, mm-hmm. and that is not doing a rate lock at an interest rate you can afford a house at.
Ooh.
Because the interest rates are fluctuating a lot. I mean, we're in an election year. We've got Fed news that comes out. And so what happens in this situation is 2 weeks ago, rates were at 6.5%. Pretty standard that we were getting people done and locked at 6.5%. We have one little presidential debate that doesn't go exactly the way the country expected it to be going. And now rates are at 6.875. Okay. Mm. And so what happens, though, is if somebody was close and they didn't lock when they were at 6.5, and that's what their approval was based on, and they waited, and now it's at 6.875, or, you know, hopefully it doesn't go to 7. And now they're not approvable at 7 because the rates went up. And so if you're at a point where it could affect your closing and you're tight on your debt to income ratio, don't throw an additional firework in your deal. Lock that rate at a payment that you know you can afford to close on that house. And so that's a big one that we've seen going on with these rate fluctuations. There's many, many more, but as we looked back over the last 6 months to get as relevant as we could, those are the fireworks.
Yes.
On America's birthday weekend, please keep these fireworks out of your real estate deals. Well, I hope everybody had a great 4th. I hope everybody's enjoying the extended weekend.
Yep.
We are here. If you need us, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.